Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the opening verses of our second reading this evening, Paul paints really a highly unflattering portrait of the false teachers that he and his young protege Timothy were up against in their day. Their doctrine is heterodox, that is, it's different than the doctrine that Jesus taught. Their attitudes are arrogant. That's what Paul means here by being puffed up. And they thrive on controversy, the controversy that they themselves create. They thrive on it to disastrous effect. There have been several high-profile Christian leaders over the years who have followed this pattern. The real problem is that when they implode, and they almost always do, they take out not only themselves and their churches as organizations, but so often they turn people not only off church, but off God. Contrast the false teachers of St. Paul to Paul himself. Paul never sought personal profit from what he taught. And now we have a fuller context, don't we, for that often misquoted saying in verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Not money is the root of all evil. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's not the only root. It's one of many. It's the love of money that has led these false teachers to false teaching. False doctrine and the love of money go hand in hand. This is not just some esoteric saying about stewardship or some other crazy thing. It's in the context of false doctrine and false teaching. It's lack of contentment that's a sign of lack of godliness. Not only is verse 10 often misquoted, it's almost always misapplied. It's not a general quote on the relative evils of money, but it's proof that if a false teacher is trying to teach you something other than what you know to be true, somebody's trying to sell you something. These verses truly should be a strong corrective to the prosperity teachers, to the Joel Osteens and the Joyce Meyers and the others of television fame. Godliness, Paul says, is not a way to material gain. Godliness is gain, even if it is a godliness in poverty. But that's them. What about us? It's also a strong countercultural message for us who live in and are a significant part of a culture of material consumption. How much are we captive to a culture of consumer spending, excessive debt, and status consciousness based on what label is on our clothing or on our vehicle? And I say this the week that the new iPhone comes out. Oh my gosh! So I would venture that we are more ensnared in this than we might think. I know I have been. Perhaps less so now than in previous years. But I'm sure I'm always prone to fall back into mistaking contentment for something else. Paul says that those who desire to be rich just for the sake of being rich fall into temptation, into a snare that leads to destruction. This is powerful language. Whenever we start toying with the idea of all the good that we could do with a possible Powerball windfall, I would pay off all my friends' student loans. We're falling far short of the kind of contentment that Paul is outlining here for us, from the kind of contentment that our Lord said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures here where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Paul outlines here a contentment for us that is a corrective for us. The second half of verse 10, we can see, leads to unbelief, apostasy. And this teaching has very practical applications for us, I think. How many of us feel we cannot give what we would really like to be able to give to the work of the church, to the ministry of the gospel, not just here in our community, but even globally, and yet still commit a lot of our discretionary income to what a generation ago would have been outrageous luxury? A telephone you walk around with. You can get the whole world on it. I know that for me, too long, I considered what I thought to be necessary expenses keep me from giving as much as I should have given otherwise, and could have otherwise given. I'm embarrassed to say it. All of us need to hear the Word of God. And most of us probably need to repent. There are those saints I've met who have never wavered in their giving of 10%. They're amazing people to me. I am not among them. And I have repented and grown in God's Word and grown in giving. And that's what the Lord would have us do. Repent, be forgiven, and grow in His Word. After repenting, we need not consider ourselves a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God, but delight in the forgiveness of sin and be empowered by that forgiveness to look at our lives and look at our checkbooks and assign the needed priority to the work of the gospel in this place and abroad. And work back toward the kind of contentment empowered by the gospel of grace given to us in Christ. Not the contentment given to us by the new iPhone 6 Plus. Or the kind of contentment that comes when we get the iPhone 6 before our neighbor does. Or have to contend with the sense of jealousy and discontent when we don't get it, and our neighbor does. As Paul makes very clear here, this is not just a case of stewardship, of proper Christian living and giving. It's really the difference between right teaching and false teaching, between godliness and temptation to destruction. Because it is the difference of between relying on Christ alone for the gift of forgiveness of sins, won for us on the cross, and relying on our own attempts to appease God on account of our sins. And if there are any of you out there for whom this discussion of wanting seems more a little mundane, because you already have more than enough and you already have your iPhone 6, listen to what Paul said in that word directed specifically toward the rich. You know, it's not wrong to be rich. But don't think your riches are for you alone. God gave them to you. I know a president recently got himself in trouble for suggesting that public infrastructure help rich people get as rich as they are. But Paul says something that I'm sure is even far more absurd and outrageous if the rest of the popular public would listen to it. Paul's saying you're rich because God has blessed you with it. Your riches are really for you to do good with, for you to share with those who do not have, You really don't want to be caught out like the rich man who wanted to build bigger barns and was called a fool. You really don't want to be a member of the church of Laodicea in Revelation, condemned by Jesus for being so rich and not having the right riches, the riches of true faith. This really is a matter of faith and unbelief, of right teaching and false teaching, as is all things in the church, including giving, stewardship, tithing, whatever. So to poor and rich alike, God forgives you your sins. Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith and love and steadfastness and gentleness. Grace be with you. Amen.